Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Welcome back, friend. I'm your host, Leanne Heiss, and I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to introduce you to today's guest, author and speaker Amelia Rhodes. Each week, we try to bring you content that encourages, empowers, and equips you to reach the next generation for Christ and spur you on to pray powerfully and effectively for the kids in your life. Today, we're going to be talking about how to get your family involved. As we roll into summer, this podcast is going to introduce one idea for how you can make that happen. I hope you'll take advantage of the free Girls in Prayer curriculum available on our website, or go take advantage of Amelia's generosity to share her prayer guide with us. You can find all the resources that we talk about on today's podcast at the blog at momsinprayer.org. And thanks a million for your reviews and for sharing on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You're helping to spread not just our podcast, but also the mission and vision of Moms in Prayer. I usually tell people that it takes moms about 3 times hearing about the mission of Moms in Prayer before they actually head to our website and find a group. Just this week, one of my single friends asked if she could be a Moms in Prayer mom, although she isn't a mom herself. Of course she can, absolutely, and praise the Lord. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to my friend, Amelia Rhodes. Well, hey, Amelia, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to see you.
It's so fun to get to talk to you, introduce my friends, Moms in Prayer friends, to my real life friend, Amelia Rhodes. So, Amelia, I know you, and I need our audience to know you. Could you introduce yourself to us?
I'd be happy to. My name's Amelia Rhodes. I live with my husband, Kedron, in West Michigan, just outside Grand Rapids. And we will have been married 22 years in a month. And we have 2 great middle school kids, a 14-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son. And I've been an author and a speaker, and by trade have been in marketing and communications, and just love sharing Jesus and my heart for prayer with women.
Well, I see your heart for prayer written all over you, but we were just talking before we went online that we have had quite a morning to get to this place. So 2 kids in middle school, you're in it, friend.
Yes, totally in it. The end of year, everything, the emergency room visits, you name it. Everything that comes.
Totally agree. We were just talking about how many urgent care visits we've had between the two of us in the last few weeks. We're just keeping the medical industry in business, aren't we?
We are, and sending up so many prayers for these kids.
It's so true. Amelia, tell us how your heart grew for prayer, what that's looked like as you've grown in your faith.
Sure. I remember I was in high school when I really started to take my faith seriously. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home with parents who took their faith seriously. Didn't just go on Sunday, but lived it out throughout the week and in our home and were involved in serving their community. And I saw my mom, she would drag me along unwillingly at times to go to hospital visits and nursing home visits, but just had this really compassionate heart. And when I was in high school, I remember one day being frustrated about something, and I was running in my head all the things I needed to talk to the Lord about this particular situation. And it was like he stopped me in the hallway and was like, aren't you kind of talking to me right now? Like, you can take all of these internal thoughts. You don't have to wait until you get home and you have quiet in your bedroom to talk to me. Like, just tell me now. And that was really a transitional moment for me as a teenager to realize I can talk to the Lord anytime, any place, about anything, whether I'm in a crowd or I'm in the quiet. And that really began to shape really what I consider to be a conversational life with the Lord, not just when I have quiet alone with him, but when I'm driving the kids to the urgent care or we're in the middle of a chaotic situation. And that really has just been growing over my adulthood.
I'm so grateful for that. And that is one of my prayers as a mom for my kids, is that they'll realize that they have access to this wisdom at all times. I'm sure you're praying that for your kids too.
Absolutely. All the time. That's what I'm telling my daughter, who's 14 and going through all of the drama that middle school can bring. And I said, anytime, anywhere, you can ask him in the middle of a situation where you don't know how to respond to give you wisdom and understanding. And so it's such a gift to be able to have that open access to the Lord, to talk to him at any time. And something I definitely want my kids and all women, all moms to know that's available to them. There's not a certain way you have to pray. You don't have to be in a certain posture, but at any time.
Such good stuff. There was a time specifically when you were moved to begin thinking about praying for your community. And it was strangely in the middle of the night. So will you tell us that story?
Right. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. I was woken up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. by this horrible sound coming from my phone. I didn't even know what it was. And in my sleepiness, I'm feeling around for my phone and I grab it and I realize it was an Amber Alert that had been sent out for a couple precious children who were in serious danger. And so as I laid there, couldn't go back to sleep, just staring at the ceiling, just praying for these children from a nearby town and praying throughout the night every time I woke up. And then in the morning, checked my social media feed and realized so many people had been woken up by the same Amber Alert. And to see my Facebook feed filled with comments of friends who had been praying for these same children. And it just became this picture for me of, one, being awoken from sleep to prayer. Just a picture, I think, of what God is calling his followers to do. Like, awake, sleeper, arise. Wake up to what's happening in your community and to pray. And then the power of, one, being awoken to the needs around me, but two, the power of realizing how many of us had been praying for these precious children, and then to see later on the news that they were found very, very far away, but safe. And it just became this picture to me of, one, praying as a community for our community and how powerful that can be.
Well, I love it that you were prompted to pray, because I remember that Amber Alert because we live in the same region. And I remember seeing my Facebook feeds where people were not impressed about that Amber Alert at all, which being interrupted can send us in one of two directions, can it?
Sure. You can be really frustrated and annoyed by it, or you can say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And turn your heart to him. Yeah. And there was definitely both in my feed. There were those who were frustrated and annoyed that their sleep had been interrupted, but there was also a fair amount, an overwhelming amount, who said they spent the night praying as well.
Even more powerful are the ones who use that moment as a prompt to pray. I think learning to prompt our kids in that way too, I'm sure that you probably have ways that you prompt prayer in your home too, but my husband has always stopped when we see a fire truck or an ambulance and prayed out loud for wisdom for the person in the scene that they're going to. And now I see that in my son, Ryan, that he sees a fire truck or an ambulance and he'll say, we need to pray. And it's almost like they beat us to the punch, you know, which is like half the fun for them. But are you having those same experiences in your home too?
Yes, yes. And I find that the more we can connect certain activities to prayer, the more it becomes part of our everyday life rather than something that we just have to do and check off the list. It's as natural as breathing. So I know for me personally, for a long time, when I would walk home from the bus stop when they were in elementary, I would take that short walk home to pray for the bus driver, bless their soul, the children, the teachers, you know, take that time. And I think the more we can ingrain that in our children, that this doesn't have to be just a one and done in the morning or at bedtime, but throughout the day when you're involved in certain activities, train yourself, prompt yourself to connect that to prayer.
So good. So Amelia, you've written a book, Pray A to Z, A Practical Guide to Pray for Your Community. And as I was thinking about summer coming and about the activities that we're going to have, summer is just a really natural time where we break out of our normal routine and start into just new normal with our kids home again. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to talk to Amelia about Pray A to Z because it's just so strategic. So first, I want you to tell us, how did God bring this writing project to you? And then describe your book to our listeners.
It started really out of conviction of integrity, of following through on when I would say I would pray for people. And I'm sure you get the same thing, you know, somebody will tell you about a situation and ask you to pray, and you do, or maybe you forget. And I started to get convicted that these people had asked me to pray for them, various friends in different situations, but I was feeling really overwhelmed. There's so many needs. How do I remember them all? And then running into someone and remembering, oh, that's going on. I said I'd pray for you. And just really sat down one day and said, Lord, I need help. Like, I want to be a woman of prayer. I want to pray for my friends and bring these needs before you, but I just forget, or I'm so overwhelmed. It was after another phone call from another friend who was struggling with an adoption that I realized, wow, I've got a number of friends who are going through adoption or who have adopted their children and still need prayer support. And so I thought, well, what if I were to pray for all of the friends going through adoption? I just make that a category, adoption. And so I grabbed a 3x5 card and I wrote adoption at the top, and I wrote down all my friends, you know, covered the front and back of that index card of friends who were either in the process of adoption, finished, or had had their children home for a long time. And then I realized, well, I had a number of friends who were dealing with cancer, either themselves or with parents. So I wrote cancer, and I just started to kind of group them by topic and thought, if I just did, you know, a topic a day, then I would remember to pray for everybody consistently for the long haul. And that was the other conviction, you know, you might pray in the spot, but, you know, was I willing to journey with people for the long haul, knowing that their situation might go on for months and years? And then I realized depression. So I wrote down depression and wrote down all my friends who had asked for prayer. And it just kind of started to categorize itself. And I realized adoption, cancer, depression. I was kind of starting the alphabet. And so I thought, well, I wonder if I could come up with 26 topics. And so I did. That day I sat down and just wrote one for every letter, knowing based on the needs that I'd been made aware of, and never intended for it to go any farther than that. This was just for myself personally. And I happened to share the idea with a friend, a couple of friends at a coffee shop one day. And they said, Emilio, we struggle with that too. Like, you need to share this. Like, we need it. And I said, really? So it started out just as these 3x5 cards that we printed up, and I started adding verses because I really believe in praying scripture. And then it just kind of grew from there, never intended to write a book, but friends kept saying, we need this, we need this, expand it. And so a publisher and I chatted, and they loved the idea. So we went from 26 to 150 topics. And and at the publisher's prompting, we also incorporated praise. And that really was the turning point for me in this whole project that really solidified what the Lord could do. Because I began to realize, you know, as you compile these topics, adoption, bullying, cancer, depression, violence, prejudice, like all of these huge, heavy things that we deal with in our communities and in our world, it starts to feel very heavy and overwhelming. But as I incorporated praise with it, so we praise God that He is abundant. He's almighty. He's the burden bearer. He's the comforter. He's the deliverer. And seeing how perfectly who He is and what He does matches up with our needs, it really revolutionized my prayer life as I realized incorporating the praise with the prayer and praising Him for who He is, I found the load lightened. And I discovered that every need we have is met in who He is. That just was really transformational and kind of shaped the project.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this, Amelia, but this is the Moms in Prayer thing. This is the game changer about praying with Moms in Prayer, is that we start praying with praise, because the world is so heavy, but who God is enough to bear all these heavy things that you were writing. Cancer and depression and adoption. Let's just start with three really heavy ones, shall we?
Right, right. What the book ended up being then is these 150 topics, and we go A to Z, and there are five for each one, three petition and two praise. And I just love the way the Lord works, because when I started, I was like, 150, I don't know. And then you have to have them categorized by letter, and everybody's like, what are you going to do for Q and Z?
That's what I was going to tell you and tell everybody listening is, she has Q and Z's.
But as I was writing and really praying my way through the project, whenever I would get stuck and be like, wow, I need something else, I would just stop and the Lord would reveal something. And so what He did is really expanded my awareness of what was going on in my community. So one of them I remember that stands out to me was pain. I needed another one for P. And I was sitting there praying like, Lord, what else is there? And that day a friend shared on Facebook for the first time her battle with chronic pain. Something I had never thought of. And she shared very honest and raw about what it was like to live with chronic pain. And I was like, pain, how many people live silently with chronic pain and how much that shapes all of their relationships. And so there's just story after story like that where the Lord really opened my eyes. And that's what I find when we commit to the Lord to pray for our community, He begins to open our eyes to people and situations around us. And my mom shared one. She had never noticed the families in her church who had children with special needs and how often they didn't get to sit through a whole church service. And as she was praying through Pray A to Z, she began to become aware of those needs and connected with some of these families and just began encouraging them and loving on them and helping them where she could. And she said, I'd never noticed before, but the Lord opened her eyes as she began to pray for families with special needs in her own community and how she could come along and support them. And so I think that's this twofold. The Lord will prompt you to pray, but then He will also show you how you can be part of the answer sometimes in coming alongside people.
Well, there's just this misnomer that prayer is passive, but prayer is active and it changes us, right?
Absolutely.
And it gets us into action more often than not. He reveals to us steps that we need to take.
Yeah. Sometimes He opens your eyes to how you can be the answer. And so that's really exciting. So the stories are fun. So with each letter, there are five. And what I loved is how often the Lord would line up the petition and the praise for that letter. So when we think of praying for cancer, those going through cancer, and then caregivers, we also praise the Lord that He's the comforter in the midst of it. Like depression and mental health, praying for dementia and Alzheimer's, and then realizing that the Lord is our dwelling place and our deliverer. And I just loved how even within the letters for each one, so often they would line up bulimia, praying for bullying, bulimia and eating disorders, and He's the bread of life and the burden bearer. And so it just really shaped my view of the Lord and placing all of those needs on His strong shoulders rather than bearing the burden myself.
Some of these were so fun, Amelia, that I was like, I really want to do this with my kids this summer. Mm-hmm. I really had that idea before I got to the letter L, but I loved lawmakers and law enforcement as two L's that were back to back. And I've been envisioning that this would help me prompt my kids to pray in ways that they haven't prayed before and to grow our hearts for the people that are in our communities.
And it's provided the opportunity to talk about things that maybe you wouldn't normally talk about. So talking about lack of medical care, another L, and just explaining to your kids, why do we need to pray about this? Because there are families and children in our own community who don't have access to medical care. And it's really prompted conversation on a lot of issues that maybe I wouldn't have thought of, or maybe the kids didn't know about, but I know they're going to encounter. Like bulimia and eating disorders was one that we had a conversation with our kids. They're entering middle school. We're talking about this. I said, you're going to start to encounter this, you know, among your friends, among your peer group, and maybe one day even you might be faced with this struggle. And so it just really opened their eyes and I think gave us a great opportunity. And the way I structured each one, each page, they're short, almost devotional, but under each topic, I included a verse that goes with that topic so that we can pray through that scripture. And then a short little prompt to go with. So if I look at bulimia and eating disorders, pray for men and women of all ages who struggles with bulimia, anorexia, and other eating disorders. Pray for people to surround them with God's love and for counselors who assist them. Just that little prompt itself provided the opportunity to talk with my kids about what are these things? What does that mean? What are the signs? What might you see? What is the struggle? And then to pray, there's a short little written out prayer for each one. And so that prayer prompt really can also be a conversation prompt with your kids.
Well, I'm so grateful that you developed a resource like this. And as we move into summer, I want to encourage our friends to take the summer months to develop your kids' prayer lives. Pray with your grandkids. Spend this time growing your own. I know, Amelia, that you developed this for your personal prayer life, but I just want to encourage us to seize these moments of opportunity to help, even just one or two, or making a difference using conversation to prompt prayer within your family or the people that you're touching. I just think that's such a cool opportunity.
And I think it's cool to include your children in the prayers. And I have a fun story of a mom shared with me that she was using this with her kids. And she started with adoption A. She started at the very beginning of the book and they prayed through it together and they had a family, friends that they had been praying for a really long time. And so they used the prayer and pray A to Z in the verse and they were talking about praying for their friends. She tucked them into bed that night and the next morning awoke to an email from the friend saying that they had received a child placement. And she said it was so fun to wake up her kids that next morning and say, "We remember how we were praying for this last night? The Lord has answered and given them a children." And so it was just exciting for her to see, you know, one, to pray with them, but then to keep track of that and see how the Lord answers. And it's not always immediate and overnight, but I find if you jot it down in the margin or on a sticky note, you can come back to that and begin to help your children or your grandchildren see the faithfulness of the Lord and that he is trustworthy, and sometimes how he answers differently than we may have asked, but it's better. And so that's really exciting to be able to come back. I always say, don't forget that last part, to come back and review and see how he has worked in a situation.
That's what fans their faith. Mm-hmm. And ours is when we see him respond. So Amelia, we're going to have how to get the Pray A to Z book in our show notes right now, and then go to your website, ameliarodes.com. But Amelia, I'm wondering if you could pray as we wrap up our time together for our communities, and that we would be able to be change agents in our communities.
Absolutely. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege of coming before you, of being able to lay all of our burdens at your feet and know that you are the burden bearer and you are the comforter. And I pray for the precious women who are listening, wherever they may be, for every struggle and heartache that they have, Lord, that they would know they can take their burdens and lay them on your strong shoulders, that you will carry them because you care for them. God, give us wisdom to know how to instruct our children to pray, not as one more thing to do, not another thing to check off the list, but because you desire to have a relationship with us, that we have this privilege of talking to you and walking with you throughout our everyday lives. Lord, show us ways this summer when our kids have all this extra time. Lord, show us how we can help them build the spiritual discipline of prayer, of listening to you, and of coming to the word. And Lord, I pray that in each of these women and their children, you would grow a heart for prayer. Lord, reveal yourself to them and help them to keep their eyes open for the ways that you are answering. Lord, help us not to miss the answers that you provide. And Lord, for the prayers that we have prayed for a long time, that we're still waiting, Lord, provide the endurance that we need to keep trusting, to keep coming to you and laying it down over and over at your feet. You are a good Father, Lord. And we thank you for the privilege of having a relationship with you because of Jesus Christ. We ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Every little thing in our day can prompt prayer. Every little thing should prompt prayer. I loved when Amelia said, "Everything we need is found in who God is." Isn't that the best? As always, our show notes for this episode can be found on the Moms in Prayer blog at momsinprayer.org, and all the ways to connect with today's guest too. Let's see what God could do as we pray strategically this summer for our communities. This is a great way to keep your group's momentum, even if you take the summer off. We love being on this journey with you, friends. If you have stories about how God worked this year where you are, email me at podcast@momsinprayer.com. Moms make the difference. Moms who pray about every little thing. Moms just like you. See you next week.